News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, as you've been hearing, two-thirds of secondary school students say their parents put no limits on smartphone use. It's a new survey published this morning by StudyClicks. Luke Saunders is co-founder of StudyClicks. Luke, just bring us up to speed. What did you find?
Hi, Shane. How's it going? So we did a survey of over 3,700 secondary students. So it's fairly comprehensive. And I suppose some of the things that won't be much news to people is that pretty much all students by the age of 13 have a smartphone. A continued rise in the amount of time they're spending on the phone, with 64% using their phones more than 3 hours each day, and almost 4 in 10 spending more than 4 hours a day. So they're using it a lot, and they have it quite young. I suppose what's different about this year is we asked students about how their parents monitor their use of the phone. And I was quite surprised to see that 70% of students said that their parents have no rules around their phone use, and a further 4 in 5 bring their phone to bed with them at night. So, you know, my take on this is that, like, we're the first generation of parents of teenagers with smartphones. And from what I can see, we're not really doing a great job of policing that.
Okay. All right. Luke, thank you indeed for that update on what was in the survey. Luke Saunders, their co-founder of StudyClicks. Let's bring in Dr. Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist. Richard, you heard what Luke had to say there. We're not doing a great job.
Hiya, good morning, Shane. Well, I think the job is harder than ever it has ever been, you know, and I think parents feel incredibly outpaced by the thing. And I think when you have a fear, you know, psychological fear, you have two responses. You try to control it or you avoid it. And I think parents are probably trying to avoid it currently because they feel it's, as you said, I was listening to you early on this morning. You said some very important things there about taking it out of the bedroom. I think that's the fundamental thing parents
must
do. Yeah,
and that's an easy one. And look, sorry, I want to stress again, I'm not putting myself forward as the parent of the year. I am anything but. I do make a mess of it every day of the, but I think that's an easy one, isn't it? Like, just say no, no.
Because Shane, I work clinically with this and I talk to teenagers every day, and there's a new phenomenon developing around teenagers where they wake up in the middle of the night to send a streak or to send a message, and that gives them a little bit of kind of reputational kudos there when they go into school, and they'll be like, oh, Sandra doesn't go to sleep at all. There's that little bit that's going on currently. That's a new kind of phenomenon. Around, there's kind of like a kind of a sense of, like, you know, reputational praise for not sleeping. And we, you know, I have loads of data there that if you get a 9 hours sleep, you have 67% better mental health. But if you get less than 6 hours sleep, which I'd say most children are at the moment currently, if they have their device in the room, they're 15% less likely to have good mental health. And so it's so important that we think about, you know, those small little changes are huge. And parents, you know, if you're listening to today, I would say it's not a very hard upskill. We're not talking about you becoming Bill Gates here. It's not that you have to become a tech expert. I'm not one myself, right? I really don't care for technology that much. But, you know, I know how to kind of bring in things like Custodio. I know how to turn off my daughter's apps. I know, you know, the phone can't be in the bedroom. I understand that it can't be her alarm clock, because when those notifications come, those streaks come in, and I check her phone in the morning, and I see that someone sent her a Snapchat at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm going to go, you know, that's what's going on amongst her children. So we have to regulate it and parent it.
Kids are going to resist this, though, aren't they?
Of course they are, but kids have been resisting things since the start of adolescence.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, the adolescence is all about adventure and curiosity and about peer feedback. You know, the whole thing about adolescence is that regions of the brain associated with peer attention and attention and feedback and all that are so much more sensitive at that age. So they're going to try to do things. And then as parents, we have to kind of minimize the risks. And here's a huge thing. Technology is embedded in their lives. It's not about sensationalizing it. It's not about making it to be this massive evil. But we just have to parent it. We have to get our arms around it. Because if you're letting your child with the device in the bedroom, their sleep is going to be massively impacted. And that, starting off your day with bad sleep, is just such a negative way to kind of, you know, start any day.
Okay, so we're taking that as a given. No phones in the bedroom. What
exactly.
else should parents be doing?
They should check their phone. Parents ask me this all the time, Shane. I get asked that because I talk every evening, and they say to me, is that not an invasion of their privacy? And I'd say to parents, well, if your daughter was or your son was heading into a party and there was a middle-aged drunk men in there, would you go in and check what's going on in that house? You know, would you let your child in there? Because when you take the phone into your child's life, they're taking everything the world has to offer. And so you have to police it, because at that, and we would see in the data there, you know, and I'm always working with CyberSafe kids there, we'd see in the data that teens, you know, that age between 10 and 13 are particularly vulnerable here. And that's where a lot of the issues are arising, because they don't have the impulse control. They don't have the risk averse thinking that we have later on as their brain develops. So they have to be minded on it. That's the key. They have to be minded on it. And when my daughter gets annoyed at me, when I say hand over the phone, I can handle that shame because I'm not her best friend. And so what we have to do there is, like, you know, step into her parental agency and be the parents and take the phones off them and check them, hand over the phone. Let me have a look. Who's that there? Who's John 0105? Or that kind of conversation needs to happen with your children, because, you know, there's so much things that can go on there that, you know, that they're vulnerable to. You just have to step into it.
Final question. The use of TikTok and various other apps. How worried are you about, like, I see my kids scrolling through, like, some of them are very funny, you know, they show me, and some of them are funny, but there is a kind of a, this scrolling through phones for hours on end. I sort of think I scroll through the newspapers for hours on end, so maybe it's no different, or is it different?
I know it is different. And I think infinite scrolling has been very problematic for our children. And I would hear, it impacts concentration first and foremost, and it also makes ordinary life very dull. Reading a book, almost impossible. Watching a movie, I would notice with these particular quarter teenagers, are unbearable, you know, because it's so long. Even watching football, I'd notice with kids today, they find it very difficult to watch 90 minutes of something that's, you know, not been interrupted by something. And so their minds are constantly in flux. And yes, and it's impacting on grey matter and concentration and the ability to kind of absorb. And I would say these children, these teenagers, ever crave absorption, because they're so surrounded with a superficial kind of a state of psychology where they're constantly in flux, constantly consuming something and flicking every couple of seconds. There's no substance in that. It might be a bit of fun, but it also, as you know yourself with the algorithms, it can be quite problematic as it feeds them negative psychological material.
So briefly, should we be limiting the hours that they're on?
Yeah, absolutely, Shane. That is the fundamental thing. What you said this morning was so important. Take the games and the devices out of the room, because you can't parent them. Don't allow the phone to be your daughter or your son's wake up, you know, your alarm clock. Give them something else besides the phone, and check what they're consuming. Check the material. Watch out for pornography, because that's embedded into everything. And also limit the amount of time that they have. And there is an answer to this, Shane. There is an answer. I think we can parent this thing, and our children can have it in their lives, and we have to parent it, and that's it.
Always a rock of sense. Dr. Richard Hogan, family psychotherapist, author, thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.
I have to say that's given me the fear, because I know I'm behind the curve
I think we all are.
But you're not wrong about Richard Hogan. He's brilliant.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.